Is the way you were raised holding you prisoner today? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with Evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Kevin Willing-Taconis, who was on our previous show, who attributes his past attraction to men to the way he was raised.
You know, I think all of us can say the way we were raised has really made a huge impact on our lives. Yeah. And I was just speaking with someone today who was so angry with her dad and so bitter with him that we had a chance to really talk it through.
Yeah.
And sometimes if we don't get through that bitterness in our past or the hurt of what happened, we carry it around every single day like a heavy ball and chain.
Wow.
And it can seep through us. It can affect the choices we make and the way we go. Like, I'm never going to be like my dad. Hmm. I'll never be like my mom. I'm not going to marry someone like this. And the very thing we say never to or don't or whatever, we end up doing.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of times if we really don't sift through it with the Lord, that the past will construct our desires. It'll construct our whole future if we're not careful. And it could be like a subconscious thing. Like, we like a certain thing because of something that happened in the past.
Right.
Or we don't like, we're afraid of something because of something that happened in the past. And we get these filters where we're no longer looking at the future. We're no longer looking what God has for us. Rather, we're bound up in how we view things. And it could be skewed from how reality really is.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where our past can really get in the way. Mm-hmm. But the Bible talks about something different. And I've experienced this. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." That is the good news for a Christian. It doesn't mean we just like suddenly like, oh, okay, the past doesn't matter. When the power of the gospel works in your life, it begins to heal the hurts of your past. And so then now you can look in the future correctly, but you need to take time to get that healing, not fake it.
Right. And there's soul wounds that God can heal that you've been hurt from. So call out to him and say, God, heal me from this so I can move forward and not go off the past. Let's hear from Kevin after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by 32nd Avenue Cleaners and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Whether you need your suit, dress shirt, or dress dry cleaned and pressed, come to 32nd Avenue Cleaners to get the best dry cleaning services in Denver. With over 15 years of experience, 32nd Avenue Cleaners is conveniently located at the corner of 32nd Avenue and Lowell Boulevard in Denver. Call them today at 303-480-9647. That's 303-480-9647.
Do aliens exist?
Is there more than one way to God?
Is casual sex okay?
Our new 11th hour TV show is tackling difficult
philosophical,
cultural,
and spiritual questions
in a fun new way from many perspectives to help you decide for yourself.
Watch us on the 11th hour, Mondays at 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 6:30 p.m.
on CTN, available on Comcast and Dish Network.
Dish Network.
For more information, go to www.awakeningthenations.com. That's www.awakeningthenations.com. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us once again is Kevin Willing-Taconis, and he shared with us how he had a homosexual lifestyle up until his early 30s and eventually had an encounter with God.
Wow.
But before we hear about that, I wanted to mention that he tried to cover up his lifestyle by getting married to a woman.
Right.
And he was very ashamed of this. He was drawn to men and tried everything to not be attracted to men, but he just couldn't help but be drawn to that lifestyle. Mm. So let's welcome to the show right now, Kevin. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure.
So Kevin, tell me about this. I know that you were going to marry a man who was actually HIV positive. You didn't even know that. Thanks be to God, you didn't get married and you didn't contract the disease, but you ended up getting married to a woman in hopes that that would somehow cover it up. And I guess my question is, were there people pressuring you, making you feel like you're doing the wrong thing and how bad it is, or what would make you feel like you needed to do that?
Well, sure. Let me just quickly mention to you that I was so in the gay lifestyle when I was 7, 8 years old, even 10, I would put on my mother's dresses.
Mm.
I really believed I was female inside. Mm. You know, my dreams were maybe one day I can have a baby and I can find a man and walk in the sunset with him forever.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, it was an internal struggle, the shame. But people knew I was gay. And sadly to say, church people wouldn't even shake my hand because they didn't want to catch being gay.
Oh, wow.
And the world, of course, just criticized all kinds of names. Need I say, you know, I was called them all.
Right.
And it just drove me into rebellion.
Right. And even after being married to a woman, that didn't help. That just made it worse probably at that time.
You know, it didn't. But I'm not going to tell you that I did not love the woman I was with. In fact, I would cry sometimes because I knew that I could take care of her if I had not been homosexual. Mm. And I felt bad. I loved this woman. Loved her, right. And I love my boys. Today, I love my boys. I'm a grandfather.
Wow.
But here's what happened. I got sick and tired of the whole thing. Life, going to churches, reading, you know, and the promises, and nothing ever happened. So I was in my apartment, and my father had given me a gun that he had made in the war. And I took it, and I told God, God, Lord Jesus, you know how much I have searched you out and studied and just worn myself dry. I've got to end my life. I can't live this no more. I can't take it. So I'm going to kill myself. And if I go to hell, I believe, God, you're going to have to answer to yourself for not changing me. And I was in my living room. I prayed and I got the gun and I was about to pull the trigger. It was loaded, ready to go. And all at once, the whole room lit up with an aluminum foil light. I actually never saw that kind of a light before, but everything lit up.
Wow.
The whole room, the atmosphere. Wow. And I saw a cross in the distance. Mm. It was plain as the nose on my face.
Mm.
And inside me, I didn't hear it audibly, but it was loud. Son, you must forgive. And I said, who? Your mother? It was basically your mother. It might have been your father, but it was your mother. And all at once, I remember what happened. When I was 7 or 8 years old, my mother tried to kill me on a Thanksgiving Eve, the day before Thanksgiving. My mom and dad were basting the turkey for the festivities the next day. My mother was drunk, and she told my father to call the orphan's home because she said to me, I never wanted you. She told me she hated me. She wished I was dead. And she grabbed my face, just slapped me around, and it was horrible. And I screamed. I could feel the veins in my neck just pulsating. And I said, Daddy, Daddy, help me. And he kept his hands folded and he did nothing. Mm-hmm. I was begging for the life raft. Somehow I broke away from her. And she continued to tell me how I was her mistake. She'd wish she never had me. She'd beat me. It was horrible. It was hell on earth, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And my father was never close to me. I never, never bonded with my father. I've never touched him, never felt him. Well, anyway, God said, son, you must forgive. So I did that. And I went to my parents and I told my mom what had happened. And I believed my father and I repented. I fell on my knees, asked God to forgive me for the hate. But I knew one thing of the puzzle. I knew why I hated my mother. And I knew why I didn't want to get close to woman. Because all that hate that I had for my mother, I put on every woman in the world. I never want nothing to do with a woman, and I feared him. So that was part of the puzzle. And my father never hugged me, never touched me, almost did nothing with me. So I went to men seeking the attention of men. Now, here's the clue. 1 month after I did all this, I was in a department store in Connecticut, and for the first time in my life, a woman walked by me and I felt something. I looked at her differently. She was attractive to me and I didn't know what to do with it. What do I do with this, God? I'm attracted to her. I'm feeling something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was emotional.
Wow.
And Mike was all excited. I mean, I was just on Mount Everest.
Wow.
You know, was this the beginning? Was this really the beginning? Well, to tell you, I have no feelings for men. Zippo, nada. I'll take all the tests you want. You know, I'm free.
Wow.
I'm free. That was the day of my freedom.
Mm.
That was my birthday.
Wow.
And what I believe homosexuality is a legitimate love need trying to be met in a non-legitimate way through same sex. Mm. You see, I loved my mother, but she hated me. So I hated her, and I hated all women. I put it on woman. But yet I wanted to be a woman because my sisters, my mother got man's attention. Mm. Well, I wanted the attention of my father, which I never had. Yeah. So I was seeking it out through same sex.
Wow.
It got confused. I really didn't want sex with these men. If you can understand this, yeah. What did I want? I wanted their attention. I wanted them to hold me. I wanted them to hug me. Mm. And that's why I was so promiscuous in the lifestyle. For 2 years, I was out every night in bookstores having quickies. Every night for 2 years,
wow.
I couldn't get that hole in me fixed.
Mm. Wow.
And only the Lord Jesus Christ could fix that. And after I realized what I was searching for, I found a church and I told my testimony and the men loved me. I had a man, he became my father.
Wow.
We played football together, you know, and you don't have to do that. As long as you have a male when you're growing up, somebody you can attach to find mm-hmm. your identity.
Yeah,
I believe for me, it's how I interpreted what had happened with my father.
Yeah,
I know with me, mm-hmm. I wanted a man's love so bad. And as I went through puberty, it became sexual.
Right.
Because I was not able to differentiate with what I was really wanting.
Right. You know, Kevin, it's amazing with your story because God appeared to you. And when you really sought him, he showed you it was really hatred that you had in your heart. And when you repented and got that forgiveness, he healed your soul and changed your desires. And there are people now listening and they're wondering, you know, I've had attraction to a girl or to another guy saying I've been attracted to men, but what is it? Was I born this way? And we want to pray for people right now who are seeking. And like you, you really sought and you found. And at the last brink of it all, God showed up and showed you the truth. And we want to pray for those who need that as well. So thank you so much. Your testimony is just so powerful, and we thank you for sharing it with us.
You're welcome.
So here you're hearing a story of how people feeling like they're missing something, that they need something, and then it begins to express itself in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Father, the truth is we're all looking for what we've been missing.
Mm-hmm.
We all feel incomplete.
Yeah.
But we know, Jesus, that you make people whole.
Yeah.
You make us saved or whole, complete.
Yeah.
And I'm sensing there's someone listening right now, and maybe they're not expressing that need in the way that Kevin was, or maybe they are. But the biggest answer is that, Jesus, you can make us whole even
yes.
right now. Jesus, we call upon your name.
Mm-hmm.
We ask you, Jesus, you would fill us with salvation, sozos, to make us whole
mm-hmm.
and complete to know who we are.
Yep.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Jesus is the way, and he can fill you up. God bless you all. You're listening to Real Life.